and let him rejoice in all this. Father, you're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. We ask you right now, Lord, to minister to each and every request, each person that's here, people that want to be here and can't, and those, Lord, that lost the desire. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray. And church said, amen. Now, Sunday, I'm not sure. I'm thinking I'm going to call it To Infinity and Beyond. If I can find a Christian version of Buzz Lightyear. But it's going to be Infinity and Beyond. So talking about giving it all you got for God. So Sunday's going to be a special day. And be ready. Amen. Now, we started a long time ago talking about trials. And you say, why do you keep talking about it? Because we're still going through them. How many are still going through trials? Isn't it nice to be able to talk about how to handle some of these trials and how to handle some of the stuff that we're going through? Because I'm telling you, if you think that life gets easier, then I want a prescription of what you got. And I'll take a double dose, because I can tell you, it gets worse. Life gets worse, but God gets sweeter. And I like to stand on that promise that if a thief be found, he's got to return sevenfold. And so there's a lot of us in here got a lot of stuff coming our way. And Job found out he got double for his trouble. So, hey, we got at least double for our trouble, if not seven times. Amen.
Have you ever heard of that song, Just As I Am?
Mm-hmm. Oh, go ahead. Wow. Wow. And Fanny Crosby was blind, and she wrote, I just went blank. Somebody hit me, why did Fanny Crosby write? No, that's not Fanny Crosby. That's what's his face? Blessed Assurance, yeah. The other guy, I can't think of his name. I'm telling you what, let's just all go home. Yeah, let's go home before we get hurt. Okay. That's right. It all pop. I'll lay in bed tonight, and all of a sudden, all these will pop in my head. Okay. Now, what did you just say? Fanny Crosby wrote "Blessed Assurance." Fanny Crosby was blind from birth, and Fanny said, and she wrote a bunch of hymns, a thousand, I think, hymns. And somebody asked her, "Wouldn't it be great to be able to see Jesus?" And she says she doesn't want to see Jesus till he gets to heaven. She wants that to be the first person she sees is Jesus. Isn't that awesome? And Horatio Spafford, wow. Horatio Spafford wrote "It Is Well With My Soul." And he was a lawyer. And when the great Chicago fire came, it actually took out a lot of his stuff. He was really in a bad fix. And so he was trying to put it all back together. And while he was trying to put it all back together, they were going to go to England. So he got his wife and his children. And they got together. And he sent them on to England ahead while he went ahead and finished up some loose ends. And so while they left, their ship collided with another ship in the Atlantic. And when they did, the ship went down. And he lost. His wife sent a telegram to him, said, "All lost. All lost." So he lost all his kids. He lost all his possessions. And so he was going to go over there with his wife. And he's going over there with his wife. When he's in the boat, as he's going over to England, when he comes over the site where he lost his children and lost everything he owned, the captain woke him up so he could walk out on the deck of the ship. And as he's walking out on the deck of the ship, he looks out. And while he's thinking about how he lost everything, he actually, on the deck of that ship, wrote, "It is well with my soul." And it has brought a lot of comfort to a lot of people after he lost his wife and his kids and everything. Not his wife, but his kids and all his possessions. So I'm telling you, you know, and the words, of course, is, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Wow. Though Satan should buffet, though trial should come, lest the blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his blood for my soul. Wow. That's some heavy, heavy stuff. God's got us. You know that? He's got us in the middle of all of our trials. Oh, I think I've pulled the paper off. Y'all might can see it. Yeah, that helps. That helps a little. Now, if your glasses are fogged up, I can't help you. I went up the door for Brother Billy a while ago, and my glasses fogged up. I look like a little orphan now, and he's trying to come back in. Okay, God of trials. And, of course, this is just a few of the things we were talking about. What's the purpose of trials? It's to prove in your quality of worth. And it's a test of your faith, your patience, and your endurance. And use this through the process of suffering. It's not, can you think of anything else that's going to test your faith, your patience, and your endurance other than suffering? So that's some heavy-duty stuff there. And, of course, God means it for your good. A faith that has not been tested cannot be trusted. And it'll never leave you the same. If you let God have control, it's going to make you better. If you do it on your own, it's going to make you bitter. I had somebody last night ask me, so I thought that Peter and Judas both repented. How come Judas is not in heaven? And I said, you got to look at the words. The Bible says that Peter, when he saw Jesus, went out and wept bitterly. The Bible says that godly sorrow worketh repentance. When Judas found out what he had done, it said he repented himself, which meant he felt sorry for himself, but he did not go to God. He kept it inside of him. And so the Bible says he went to a place of his own choosing. He could have gone to heaven if he'd have gone and asked for forgiveness, but he didn't. He just took it because he felt so bad. He just took it, could not go, could not face God. And so he suffered some bad consequences. So we got to remember this stuff when we're going through trials. Take it to God. Even if you have blown it, still, take it to God. He hung himself. The Bible almost sounds like it contradicts itself, and it doesn't. The Bible says he went out and hung himself, and then the Bible says that his bowels burst asunder. But your bowels burst asunder when you've been hanging for quite some time. Okay, and especially if somebody hits you because you build gas up in your body. And so once you're trying to get him down after you've been hanging there for a while, his bowels are going to burst open. It's not going to be a pretty scene. Okay? Now, we talked about winter last week. Winter is suffering the chills of pain. Do not be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering as though something strange were happening to you. I should lift this up there. I'll do that next week. The cold winds of sorrow, tears, heartache. They blow in every one of our lives. But as a Christian, we have a blanket of strength, and that's Jesus Christ. Now, and when you're in the winter, listen carefully. When you're actually in your winter, remember what I said last week? You're going to be talking about the good old days. You're going to think about how good it was. And you can't see anything in front of you but death. Everything's crusted over. Everything's bad. So you look behind you, see the good old days and what used to be. And so your biggest thought in your mind is what used to be. And that leaves us with no hope for today. If you keep looking at yesterday, you have no hope for today. Spring is different. Springtime now the sun is starting to shine. In the springtime, the sun is starting to shine. It still has some rough days. You still got some bad times. You still got, oh man, well, there you go. I thought I had them all set up. I reckon I did. Springtime, the sun is starting to shine a little bit. You're beginning to have hope rising up within you. And so spring, you still have the cold. Spring, you can still have a blizzard. You can still have some bad storms. But in the springtime, you have hope because you're starting to get some sunny days. You're starting to hear the birds sing again. It's not just death all around you. Some of y'all might be in your winter. All you see is death all around you and no growth. Some of you may be in the spring. You haven't got the growth yet, but you're starting to see it. You haven't got to a place where you're feeling great inside, but you're starting to see it. It's possible. So, spring, sowing seeds of purpose. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on the rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plant. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. That's Luke 8:58. Listen to this carefully. A wise farmer carefully cultivates the soil before his spring planting. This is what God's doing in our lives. In the same way, God is preparing the soil in your heart through trials and suffering. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3, it says, For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground. Sow not among thorns. Or, you know, fallow ground has already been harvested. Not only has it been harvested, it's gone through the winter season. It's crusted over. It's hard. All you see is remnants. You see bits and pieces of corn stalk or bits and pieces of wheat lying down, and it's dead. And there's a lot of us, a lot of times, we've gone through the harvest period, and now we have fallow ground in our heart. It's hard. It's crusted over. Have you ever realized as you're walking through your Christian life, your heart's crusted over? Because things that didn't used to make you mad, make you mad. Things that used to make you sad, you could care less about. Things that used to make you feel a little joy, you don't feel much joy. Because your heart's crusted over. Every Sunday morning, every church in this nation is full of people with their heart crusted over. It's people that used to get excited about God, used to get excited about worship, used to get excited about working for the Lord, and now they could care less, or they're just going through the motion. And all they actually see is remnants again of the harvest of before. And they really don't have such a great outlook. That's sad, but that's where a lot of people are. So now, you can sow spiritual seeds of maturity by choosing to respond with heart attitudes that are like those Christ demonstrated, even though there will be times when you do not feel able to respond in a Christ-like way. Okay? Now, I thought I'd already fixed all this, and I reckon I must have pushed a back button somewhere and took out all the animations. So we may get them all up at one time. If we do, hold on. You got them anyway. You got it now? Okay. Now, let me see if it's just all pop. How in the world did I do that? I reckon I thought I'd done it, or either pushed the back button. Has anybody ever pushed the back button before? Yep. And now I can't get out of it. Here, hold on just a second. Hold on just a second. Y'all can look at that while we're looking at your papers. You know, like it's going to be a boring sermon. You know it's a boring sermon when you dream that you're preaching and you wake up and you are. That's a boring sermon. Okay. Here we go. Now I've got it. I don't know what in the world I had to hit a back button. But now I've hit the front button, so now we're back into business. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's not cool. I dreamed one night I ate a giant marshmallow. I woke up, my pillow was gone. Here we go. Okay. Now, we're in the springtime. Remember, the winter is always what used to be. Used to be, all you see is death. Death, everything, you see brown, you don't see colored leaves. You don't see growth anywhere. And now you're in the springtime. You're starting to smell a little freshness. You're starting to see a little breakthrough. And so now your life, you're starting to feel, well, it's possible. Okay? You might be going through a trial right now, and you just come through the winter, and you say, there's no way we're going to get out of this trial. And now you've come through the springtime, and now you're thinking, you know what? It's just possible. It's just possible. And so what I got to do is I got to break up the fallow ground in my heart so that God can use my heart and use me in whichever way he wants to help turn this trial around. So here's what you do. When you're in the springtime, sow the seeds of thankfulness. You know that thankfulness is the purest form of faith you can have. If I thank God for it before I get it, that's faith. I'm not just saying, Lord, I need this. I'm not just saying, Lord, I want this. I'm not just saying, Lord, I'd feel a whole lot better if I had this. I'm saying, Lord, I thank you because you've already got it taken care of. So thankfulness is the purest form of faith you can have. And God loves it when we thank him. Thank God for all. Matter of fact, the 10 lepers, one was a Samaritan. The 10 lepers went and they come to Jesus. And when they came to Jesus, the Bible said that they came to Jesus and said that we need to make us or to cleanse us. And the Bible said he cleansed them and they went on their way. But the Samaritan came back and thanked him. And he said, your faith made you whole. The difference is the guys that actually they were cleansed. And because they were cleansed, they still had scars. They still had limbs missing. They still had nose missing and eyes and teeth and all that missing. But they were cleansed so that at least, he said, go show yourself to the priest. The priest says, at least you can get back in front of people. But the one that came back and thanked him, his arm came back. His eye came back in socket. His ear came back on. His nose came back on. And that's why it's so important that we thank God. Because as we thank God, wow. Not only is he going to restore, not only is he going to cleanse us, he'll restore us. And I want it all. Whatever he's got for me, I want it all. Amen. So give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In all circumstances, when it's good, when it's bad, when it's happy, when I'm sad, when it's pretty, when it's ugly, it don't matter. Give him thanks. Next, sow seeds of joy. You've heard me say it a million times, that everybody can brighten up a room. Some brighten up a room by entering it. Some brighten up a room by leaving it. Amen. Joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Rejoice in the Lord, knowing that the outcome. Can you get her a, brother, can you get her a paper, please? Sister Kitty. That's all right. We I saw you. We're going to get you a paper. Rejoice in the Lord, knowing that the outcome is in God's hands. Remember talking about, I can't think of his name, Stonewall Jackson. They said, and he got his name because he had a learning disability. He was a professor at a Virginia military school for boys. And he actually had a learning disability. He had to read it word for word. And if anybody stopped him, he had to start all over again reading word for word for word. So this man with this learning disability gets on the battlefield and becomes the greatest general the South ever had. And I believe that the Lord let him get killed so the South would lose. I really do. I believe with all my heart. Because God sets us up and puts us down. But Stonewall Jackson, he had been shot. And he shot his hand. Shot him right in his hand. But he's up on the hill, done being shot, and he still stood there like a stone wall. His guy started to run. And he said, hold, don't run, stand up, stand strong. And his men looked at him and said, look at him standing like a stone wall. His guys loved him so much. They followed him wherever he went, and his guys gave it all they had. And he said, and I talked about it Sunday night, he felt just as comfortable on the battlefield as he did in his bed at home because he knew the same God that was at his bed at home was in that battlefield. Okay, so we in all suffering, we rejoice in all sufferings, knowing that suffering produces perseverance or staying power. I want to have some staying power. There's a lot of people out there that talk a good talk, but when it gets really, really bad, you don't see them. It's because they don't have any staying power. Confession. Here's a good one. Not to each other necessarily, but to God. Search your heart and confess any hidden sin. He who conceals his sins does not prosper. Whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. You got something inside of you. You're mad at somebody. You just can't seem to get over it. You're doing something you shouldn't be doing, thinking something you shouldn't be thinking. Go to God and let him search your heart. Search. I'm going to search it, but I'm not just me search it. God, I want you to search it. You find something there you don't like every time we do communion. Search my heart, God. If there's something there I have not brought up before you, then you help me. Help me see it. Humility. There was a guy that wrote a book, The 10 Most Humble Men I Know and Why I'm Number One. That guy weren't humble. If a guy comes to me and says, bless my humble heart, that used to get me when I was younger, Christian. I'd say they're so sweet. Now when a guy comes, if a guy's got to tell me he's humble, scares me. Matter of fact, I look at him twice before I even open my mouth. Okay. Know that God gives grace to the brokenhearted. He gives us more grace. That's why the scripture says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humility is not weakness. Okay? Humility is not weakness at all. Humility, again, is having a strong, a powerful strength, but it's under control. You don't have to prove anything to anybody. Sure is, sister. Very sufficient. Okay? Now, sow seeds of wisdom. Saturate your mind with Scripture. Wow. Saturate your mind with Scripture. If you can get that Scripture in your head, that's how you fight the devil. When Jesus was in the wilderness, he didn't fight the devil with anything but the Scripture. It is written. It is written. Do you want to win? Find what it is written about what you're going through, and you keep standing on that and trusting God to take care of you. Wisdom, saturate your mind with Scripture. I meditate on your precepts and precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Joshua, when Joshua was, we talked about it Sunday morning, when Joshua stood up and God was going to use Joshua, he told Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1, he said, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. He's already told him twice, be strong and courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, the Bible, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from the right hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper wherever thou go. The book of the law, the Bible, so not depart out of thy mouth. Meaning you need to digest it. You need to ingest it, digest it, and it needs to come out of you. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. He said, thou shalt make your way prosperous, and you'll have good success. We've got a part in this thing. We can make our way prosperous if we can get that word in us and follow the word. Prayer. Don't worry, but pray about everything. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Anybody got any comments or questions so far? Endurance. Stay in power. Hanging in there like a hair in a biscuit. Look to the Lord for deliverance. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted above that which you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you may be able to stand up under it. That almost sounds like a contradiction. He's going to provide a way out that you can stand up under it. What he means is he's going to give you inner strength. It's going to take you, literally going to take you with that inner strength, even though you're in the trial, it's going to take you above the trial, and you can bear what you're going through. How many's ever gone through something? Somebody said, how'd you go through that? I don't know. It was God. God did it. Trust. And trust yourself to God who judges justly. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted him to him who judges justly. Okay. Guess what? Somebody might be talking about you. Guess what you don't have to do? You don't have to defend yourself. God will do it for you. God will take care of you. Eventually, it'll be proven that if you're in the right, it'll be proven eventually. Was that the last one? Oh, no, here we go. Where'd you go? There you are. Here we are. Obedience. Learn to hear and obey. This is all in the spring. This is all your stuff you do in the springtime. Think about it. What this stuff does is it gets you back in fighting shape. This gets you back in a position where you can do something. When you start doing all this stuff, it gets you right back because you've been in the dead of winter and you really haven't felt like doing anything. You've been stuck in the house, so to speak, spiritually, and now you're stepping out. And you do all this stuff because this gets you back in alignment with God in the springtime. So while your hope is building, guess what's going to happen? It's going to build more and more and more and more. A lot of times, and I've thought about this, how many, and I'm guilty of waiting to the last minute. Anybody else besides me? Y'all all raise your hand. You probably would raise your hand, but you're waiting to the last minute. Okay. Matter of fact, I can procrastinate with the best of them. Amen. Never do today what you can put off till tomorrow. That's right. I was going to join the Procrastinators Club, but I keep putting it off. And they've had the same president for 20 years because every time they keep wanting to have an election, but they keep putting it off. Okay. Learn to hear and obey God's voice. This is love, that we walk in obedience to His commands. As you have heard from the beginning, His command is that you walk in love. Dependence. Act in the power of Christ. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. That is one of my powerful, powerful scriptures I rely on all the time. And that's part of learning the scripture and being obedient to Him. Even being obedient to this, hey, I can do all things through Christ. He gives me strength. He helps me. He doesn't just throw you out there and tell you to do the best you can. He helps you. Praise. Focus on God's greatness, not your circumstances. Let's stop there for a minute. When you're going through something bad, especially the winter, you ain't got to raise your hand, but how many has ever, instead of focusing on God's greatness, focused on your circumstances and got depressed? When I was sick for all this time, I mean, there was 2 weeks I had 103 temperature with all the medicine I was taking. Still had 103 temperature for 2 whole weeks, every night and all during the day. And the next week, 101. And the very first couple of days, I was focusing on the circumstance. And the Lord finally... And I was trying to take medicine to make it stop. And I said, Lord, make it stop, make it stop. And finally, the Lord spoke to me and said, don't you know I've got this? And I even got to the point one night, I actually thought I was going out of here. I said, Lord, this is bad. And He said, just 103 temperature when I was 13 was one thing. But when I'm 55, 103 temperature is like having Bruce Lee come in your room every night and beat you with nunchucks. And He told me, quit focusing on that. Start focusing on me. So I just started praising Him and praising Him. And it didn't go away immediately, but I felt a whole lot better during it. And I had more energy in the middle of all that. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. What's the sacrifice? Something you can't afford to give. There's times when life's hitting you hard and you really can't afford to give Him a praise. Guess what? Give Him a praise anyway. The fruit of the lips that confess His name. Focus on Him, not your problem. And then ministry. Again, this is in your springtime. You're starting to get hope again. Look for ways to reach out and help others. Praise be to God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Whatever you went through in your winter, don't let it be in vain. Whatever you went through, Take what you got, take what you went through, take the lessons that you learned, and tell other people about it. Help them out when they're going through problems. You know, I find myself really drawn when somebody tells me that their spouse has died. I find myself drawn to them because I've been there with a dead spouse, and I remember the pain and the heartache. I remember DC was subcontracting this big job, and I went out there, and the contractor's daddy was watching over. And I found out he had lost his wife and a year before, 2 years before, and it just drew me to him like a bug to a light. And we got talking, and we became the best of friends, and it started when I found out that he had lost his wife. And just recently, I'm trying to remember where I was at now, my mind's went blank. But just a few days ago, when the guy came to work on my, when American Home Shield sent a plumber to put in a new water heater, I was talking to the man out of clear blue sky. He said, "Yeah, I lost my wife a year ago." And so next thing I know, we're out in the yard and we talked for about an hour. But see, I've been there, done that, and God helped me through it, and then I found ways to tell other people, and they're still telling me things that help me now. And so if whatever you're going through, without telling anybody, I want you to think about something. What is the biggest trial that you've gone through lately, and what are the biggest lessons that you've learned in your biggest of trials? And I can tell you something with an assurance: God's going to put you around people that have the same problem. Watch it. They may not tell you they've got that problem, but they do. And when you find out, you'll see, either if they won't tell you, they can see the way you act and it'll help them. Or if they tell you, then you can tell them how God helped you through it. It's awesome. So, so awesome. So, this is the springtime. Remember, springtime, now hope is starting to rise. Winter is all death. Springtime, hope is beginning there. You're starting to see the sunshine again. Hope is rising. You're starting to see little things spring up. And so it's during this time, break up that fallow ground. You break it up. He didn't say, "I'm going to break it up." You break it up. You break it up by doing all this stuff. This is how you break up the fallow ground. Go through these scriptures right here. Keep it with you. Put it in your Bible. Do something with it so you can remember. It is important to break up that fallow ground, because guess what's coming next? Summer. Next week is summer. I mean, here, it's already summer. Yeah, I mean, it's hot. I mean, it's really hot. I saw a couple of trees whistling for the dogs today. it was hot. That's it. Was it? I was going to say, you're a wealth of information today. You're still coming here doing, you're coming here doing algebra. And me and Eddie got to get a calculator. And then he pops up and he knows who wrote hymns and why they wrote them. And now he's telling us history, literature history. And now he's going to come back and going to tell us about weather history. So you're just a wealth of knowledge tonight, Dudley. You are the man. What's that? That's right. Y'all hear what she said? But tell it again. Yes. So it's something. It's a trap. It's a trap that Satan throws at us. And I felt sorry for myself. I found myself probably about 3 years ago. And it's something I never do, but this was just something happened. I think my son-in-law said something that he shouldn't have said, and one of my boys. I mean, it was like all of them all at one time were just, you know, lost their mind, and hurt me pretty bad. My son-in-law started it. He started it, and then one of my sons finished it up. And I can't remember which one it was now, but I was really upset with those guys. And what I found out is, I found myself going around for about a week not really talking to them. And I found myself kind of shying away from them. And then if they wanted to talk to me and wanted to be happy, I weren't being happy with them. And I said, wait a minute, that's not me. I don't act that way. And they don't even know they've done it. They don't even have any idea they've hurt my feelings. And so what I did was, I didn't even talk to them. I said, Lord, help me to act more like me and act more like you than to act like whoever I might have liked. And it was an immediate relief. I started acting a whole lot better. I was smiling. I was happy. I was, you know, a lot happier. And it just amazes me how we do that. We get caught up in those traps. Like Sister Dorothy's talking about, it is so easy. It is so easy to get caught up in that trap because you're hurting. And you're being restricted. You can't get up and do what you used to do. You can't go where you used to go. You're so used to ministering to people. And this is a heavy one. When you're ministering to people and you're always helping people and ministering to them, and now you can't. You know, it's like some of the, you know who makes the worst patients? Doctors. In the same way, in our own life, you know, if you're used to being if you're a minister to people, it's hard to receive ministry. It really is. You know, I'm a giver. It's hard for me to receive gifts, but it's not hard to give them at all. I have no problem giving gifts, but I have a problem receiving them. And so, and my family knows that. And so if I don't respond the way they expect, it's because I don't know, I really don't know how to respond other than saying thank you. You know, yeah. So the same way, if you're a cheerful person and you're under the gun for a while, it is so easy. You know, like I told you about the third day in that 103 temperature, I'd started feeling a little on the sorry side for David. You know, especially when I felt like I was leaving this place, and the Lord spoke to me and said, "What are you doing? What are you doing, son?" And so again, don't think it can't happen to you. If anybody here thinks it can't happen to you, something's wrong with you. It could happen to any one of us at any time. And that's a fact. Has anybody in here ever? Sir? Oh, I had a yeah. And they still didn't tell me. Dr. Young told me, let the Lord heal me. That's what he told me. He said he took me off all my medicine, including my blood pressure medicine, and said, let the Lord heal you. And I tried it for a couple of days, and I wanted a second opinion. And I went to a fourth doctor, and they took all these tests. And when they took all these tests, honestly, I felt no better than I did to start with. But when they put me on some medicine for my stomach, at least I could start to eat again. But again, I still don't know what it was. Have no idea what it was. They don't know what it was. I don't want it anymore. I tell you what, that stuff, I'm telling you, it's like Bruce Lee with nunchucks. It busted me a good one. Well, there's no telling. I've asked God, what were you trying to show me? And let me learn from it. Whatever it was you want me to learn, let me learn it. And part of it was just be patient. Be patient. And another part of it was I have been around so many sick folk, but I've really never been sick. I mean, yeah. I think it's because they're around it all the time. Yeah, they grow. I mean, that's why they said I stayed so healthy, because I was around it all the time. And this just one time, it was Linda was sick, Daniel was sick, Amy was sick, Emmy was sick, and they were all sick with something different. And I got around all of them, and I don't know if I got a combination of what all of them had or what, but when it decided to knock me down, it was a 2x4 right between the eyes. But then I thought about Sister Dorothy when she was in the hospital with phlebitis in those 40 days, and then she fell while she was in a nursing home, and now she's broke her rib. And they didn't catch it when she fell, and now it's broke all the way, and that's got to be sore. That's painful. You know,
ribs
are tough. Yeah. Ha 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 ha.